ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविराविर्मयेधि वेदस्य माणी स्थः युतम् मे मा प्रहासीः अनेनाधीतेनाहोरात्रान् सन्दधामि ऋतम् पदिष्यामि सत्यम् पदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः The first chapter we saw yesterday, presenting the Adhyaropa method elaborately, quickly, very briefly punished the Apavada, saying the Jivaha going through samsara, understanding the limitations of the world, finally being taught by a teacher, stumbling upon the Shastra, being exposed to the Shastra teaching, understood the value of the knowledge, and thereby as a committed person, he inquired into the truth of everything and arrived at the truth of everything as one's own swarupam, as a swarupam of the very experiencer. And having arrived at the truth, he could not see anything other than the truth which existed apart from, separate from, different from the truth. For him, there was only the truth. And this is how he finally negated the entire jagat. And also the Ishvara, he negated even the very self in terms of as the experiencer status. In this we saw last class. And now, I said, the next chapter which we are going to see here is the second chapter, which in fact presents the samsara in the form of the description of three abodes of the jivaha, three avasathaha, trayaha avasathaha, the three abodes the jiva enjoys, they are described here. And the description of the three avasathaha is in fact the indirect presentation of samsaraha. What is samsaraha? We have three words, sam saranam, sam saraha, sam srutihi. Three words in three genders. Samyak sarati, without any obstacle, without any obstruction, without any break, that which keeps flowing, keeps moving continuously, beginninglessly, endlessly, is what now? Samsaraha. The life of transmigration, the transmigratory life. And here, and for which the three avasatas are mentioned here. Let us see here. And before even we see this, we have to remember what we have seen in the first chapter. I'm not going to elaborate on that. Definitely, you know, Paramatma was there in the very beginning, beginninglessly, before the creation. And the lokas, the lokapalas, the worlds, the protectors of the world in the form of devatas, the golakani, the indriyani, all of them came into existence from Paramatma. And when the whole setup was ready, the Paramatma himself entered as the Jivaha, as the experiencer of everything that has been created. And the Paramatma's entry is in fact nothing but manifestation of Paramatma in those created beings. Is in the Jiva Srishti. Really speaking, there is no creation. This point we have to remember. Now we have to enter into the next chapter. So here, the Upanishad begins like this. Because three abodes of the Jiva are presented, definitely mother's womb is said to be the first abode of the Jivaha. Just for the sake of warning, not to frighten, Upanishad makes a statement here. You may not find it in your books. Apakramantu garbhinyaha. Garbhinyaha apakramantu. Garbha, fetus, garbhini, the woman who is pregnant is garbhini. So garbhinyaha, may all the women who are pregnant, I'm sure nobody is here in this class, all the pregnant women, keep away, go away from here. The Upanishad makes this statement. Apakramantu, apagachantu, duram gachantu, atra ma upavishantu. May all the pregnant women go away. This statement is said not to make pregnant women frightened, but to help them not to get frightened. Just for the sake of warning, Upanishad makes a statement. From this statement, what should we understand? During Upanishad times, there must have been women studying Vedanta Shastram. If the women were not studying Vedanta Shastram, this expression wouldn't have been possible. Women must have been studying, they must have been in the class. All wrong, you knew these things spread all over the world, that there were so women in India treated very badly, etc. Did not have. Women were given very high position. So women, we are all studying Vedanta. They can study the Vedanta Shastram. The later part which is going to come, they can study. The previous part they can study. But the present part, only this certain part, they are asked not to study, not to be in the class, just to protect them. That's all, nothing else. Anyway, so that with that statement, the Upanishad begins. Then here, let us read this. Well, because only in this second chapter, the life of the Jiva as the fetus in the mother's womb, Garbhavasaha, is discussed. And here also, The Garbhavasaha of Jiva means in which Garbhavasaha a human birth is discussed. We are not discussing the birth of the Jiva as a buffalo or a monkey or a cat, but definitely natu mriga janma, but here manushya janma is discussed here. Let us read here. So the Jiva's life begins where? Begins with the what? If you see, is a beginningless life. Jiva's life is a beginningless life, which means anadi. Nothing is created. Therefore, Jiva is also anadi. Maya is anadi. Jagat is anadi. Everything is perennially eternal. Atma is absolutely eternal. Therefore, here, but still somewhere there is a beginning, isn't it? Therefore, apparent beginning also is there. But Jiva's life begins in this world, on this earth, with the father. Mundaka Upanishad presents it a little differently. We'll see that also here, because Shankara Bhagavatpada quotes that verse from the Mundaka Upanishad. We'll see that also. Let's see this first. Om Purushehava Ayam Adito Garbho Bhavati Yadetadretaha. So Purushe here should not be taken as in the person. Purushe here should be taken as in a male body. In human male body, Purushe Hava. Ayam. The word ayam is a third person singular pronoun, which means this. This ayam indicates this jivatma. This jivaha. This jivaha. Purushe aditaha garbha bhavati. Garbho bhavati. Aditaha, the very beginning. From the beginning, in the very beginning, Purushe, I am jivatma, garbha bhavati. See, garbha, the word garbha, which means fetus, embryo, it is always we think of fetus in the woman's womb. But the first conception is in the man's body, male body, in the form of a sperm. Purusha bija rupena purusha sharire no jivaha udbhavati. So garbaha. So first it gets formed. And here, yad etad retaha, retas. That sperm in male body, which is the first form of the jiva, is called retas in Sanskritam. Purushehava. Purushehava. Ayam. So the ayam. This is jivatma, this jivaha, aditaha, from the beginning, garbaha bhavati, becomes what? The first gets conceived, becomes formed, where? In the male form, in the form of retas. Yad yetad retas, retaha. Tad yetat. Sarvebhyo angebhyaha tejaha sambhutam atmanyeva atmanam vibharti. How does this retas, the sperm, get formed? It is said here, tad yetat, that retas, the sperm, the first form of the jiva, sarvebhyaha angebhyaha. Angaha, angaha means here the limb. Sarvebhyaha angebhyaha. Tejaha sambhutam. Tejas sambhutam. So, the tejas, the word tejas means the energy, the prowess, the vigor, the of the male person, obtaining in all the limbs. So the prowess, the energy, the power, obtaining in all the limbs of male person, all of them, collecting them all together, collectively, having accumulated, gathered, collected the energy from all the limbs, together, from all of them together, that's called tejas. Tejas. Sarvebhyaha angebhyaha tejas sambhutam. So this retas is formed of the energy collected from, accumulated from all the limbs of the human, the male body. Sambhutam. In fact, each sperm is a miniature form of the human male person. Every man's, every sperm is a miniature, tiniest, subtlest form of one's own self. One's own being, the physical form. Because everything is there. The sperm is not an ordinary thing. That's why it has sarvebhyaha angebhyaha. Over all the angas, there is accumulation of the energy. That's why it's not an ordinary thing. It's a miniature form of a human being. The man. Atmanyeva atmanam bibharti. Every man, in fact, bibharti means sustains, protects, has oneself imperishably in the form of one's own sperm. All that one has is there. That is why later on, when the baby is born, we talk about what? The baby's resemblance of mother, resemblance of father, resemblance of grandparents, the father's father, father's mother. This is all possible because everything is already coded there. So here, ever atma, atmani eva atmanam bibharti purushaha. We have to add purushaha there. Atmani eva atmanam bibharti. In fact, one, every man, here atma, here literally every man protects oneself where? In one's own self, in the form of one's own sperm. Atmani eva atmanam bibharti. The Upanishad is a very famous Upanishadic word. Atmavai, no, putraha. In fact, the son is always son or daughter. Daughter came to daughter also. What do you mean by son? Son is putra namas, isn't it? Son is always none other than one's own self. Why do you say? The sperm for the Purusha Bijam is the Karanam. And then here the Putra is the Karyam. And the Karanam, Karyam, Karanat, Vyatiriktam, isn't it? It's not different. So there is no effect can exist independent of the cause. Therefore, what is this Putra? Putra is none other than myself. That is why every father feels so proud of seeing the grown-up big sons and then who are energetic and hale and healthy, and then who are also highly contributive. And then they really feel proud in seeing their own children, the grown-up big sons. That's why here, you say, Atmanyeva Atmanavibharti, every son is, in fact, once the father sees the son as one's own self, because he is product of his own miniature form, that's the sperm. Atmanyeva Atmanavibharti. And that rethis, that sperm, tadu, Tad means next. Tad. Yada. Striyam sinchati. Atha. Yenate. Janayati. Yada when that bijam, purusha bijam, the retas, striyam sinchati, when it is transferred into a woman's womb, striyam sinchati, sinchati atha, that transference of male sperm from the man into the woman is also what now is in fact bringing into existence, delivering. Not only a woman delivers, man also delivers. Man also procreates. Therefore you say janakaha. That is why father in Sanskritam is called janakaha. Janayati iti janakaha. It is so janayati. You know, janakaha means just the father, one who gives birth. Therefore, yada striyam sinchati atha yenat janayati. That is how the father gives birth to this jivatma. Okay? This transferring his sperm into the woman is called what? First birth. Janayati. The father gives birth. Tad asya prathamam janma. That is called what now? That is called asya means jivasya, jivatmanaha, prathamam janma, first birth. Is the first abode is that father's body, we already saw, prathama avasataha, prathamaha avasataha, first abode of the jiva. Therefore it says, that's the first birth of the jiva. Asya prathamam janma. Read now. Tad yada striyam sinchati atha yenate janayati tad asya prathamam janma. Okay. This is the first birth. What is the first birth jiva? You know that very well now. Tat striya atma bhoyam gachati. So this retas which enters into the mother's womb, you know, there it is what? Fetus, garbaha, striyaha atma bhuyam gachati. It goes from somewhere, but it becomes part and parcel of the body. It becomes one of the limbs of the woman's body. Which means it is not considered anymore as a foreign body. Here, how beautifully the nature is supportive in the sense. Anything foreign, the system can never accept. Always it will try to throw it out. Anything unwanted, anything foreign, which doesn't belong to the system, is not at all accepted by the system. That is why Udana Prana does the job. Even some poisonous things goes in, immediately Udana Prana will work, and that's why you will vomit. Even a tomato soup, it is not accepted, it comes out of the mouth of vomiting, isn't it? Everything comes out. And why any transplantation also, the doctors, when they transplant any organs also, they have to wait and see for some time. Why immediately nothing will work? Whether it is eye or a kidney, now heart, like anything, whatever transplanted, it takes very long for the body to become, to accept the something which doesn't belong to its own system. It comes from outside, isn't it? And sometimes it's rejected also. Always rejection, body, system, naturally there's a setup. This Bhagavan's thing, isn't it? Rejects everything which is unwanted. But what happens? This Retas alone is not rejected. It becomes just like what? No, Atma Bhuyam Gacchati. It becomes just a part of the woman's body. What? Atma Bhuyam Gacchati. Swakiyam Angam Bhavati. Striyaha Atma Bhuyam Gacchati. As though it's her own other limb. Upanishad says, yatha swam angam tatha. Just as its own limb is, no, it's not something different, not, it's similarly here, its own limb is acceptable for any system, so also for this woman, this fetus is acceptable as her own, something which belongs to her own system. Atma bhuyam, it becomes herself. It becomes her own body. Not only that, swamangam bhavati means what? Swam angam bhavati, her own body, part of her system it becomes, which means just as all the limbs are fed, similarly the fetus also is what now? Fed. Her woman's body not only accepts the retas, it also starts feeding the retas, gives food also. That's what's called swamangam, one's own body. Tasmat yenam nahinasti nahinasti. Because it becomes part of her body, part of her very system of the woman, it does not cause any harm to the body. Doesn't cause any pain. Carrying a baby, really, maybe at the time of delivery it might be a problem for people, I don't know. But I'm saying otherwise, during the pregnancy, no woman feels really it's a very heavy or pain, I can't carry. Nobody says that. That's na hinasti. Tasmat ena kimartam na hinasti sumangam bhavati atma bhuyam bhavati. It becomes herself. Her part of her body, therefore, does not harm, does cause any pain to her. And this is what now? This is the dvitiyaha avasataha. Second mother's womb is the jivatma, of a fetus, now remaining in mother's womb is what now? Is the second avasataha. Sa asya etam atmanam atragatam bhavayati. So even before even it enters, the woman's body itself prepares itself in such a way that it throws away all the unwanted. It keeps this very clean and nice so that the garbha can stay comfortably without any difficulty, any trouble. It can stay comfortably. So for the comfortable stay of the fetus, this garbha itself in the woman's body itself, womb itself, keeps itself clean. That who does, the woman doesn't need to do. The nature takes care of it. That's why here we say, and how does she look after that fetus, the garbha? He says, sa asya etam atmanam. She sees etam, no? She sees this jiva obtaining in her womb, in the womb of a fetus, she sees it as the very self of her husband. Asya, asya, patyuhu, etam, atmanam, patyuhu atmanam, atragatam bhavayati. She looks at it as the self, her own husband's self, her own husband. She's carrying her own husband's another form. Therefore, she has as much love and care and warmth and affection she has for her husband. The fetus also enjoys the same affection, the same care, the same affection the husband enjoys from her, supposed to. Okay? Enjoys. So, asya etam atmanam, then atra gatam bhavayati. Atra gatam bhavayati. Atra gata means this jivatma now which came in the form of rethis, now which obtains in her own womb in the form of a fetus, you know, she atra gatam bhavayati. Bhavayati means bhavayati, she looks after, nourishes, protects it with the care and warmth. It lots the word of one word bhavayati has no equivalent English word. You can simply say one word. It's very highly expressive term. Bhavayati. Atra gata means what? Sva shariram prati agatam jivatmanam garbharupena sthitam jivatmanam bhavayati. Which has come and she protects and nourishes. Why? Because she also knows, she sees that jiva as her own husband's miniature form. Her own husband now is in the form of her baby. This stay of the jiva in the mother's womb is dvitiyaha, that is why it's called dvitiyaha avasataha, second abode. And here, be very nice for you to know, in Mundaka Upanishad it is said, of course every jiva lives one's life in some form, and once the paradha gets exhausted, the jiva leaves the physical body. The jiva which has departed from the physical body with the punyam goes to Pitruloka. And from Pitruloka, the time comes, then through the parjanyaha, then it in the clouds, it comes to the clouds, and the form of clouds, water, it comes to the plants, and from the plants, the form of food, it goes to man, and from the man goes to woman. So five stages of jiva, you know, are mentioned there. The same thing is here presented. It'll differently. That's all I want to remind, because you have done already Mundaka Upanishad. Anyway, there's another thing which I want to mention here. You know the word wife. In English we have the word wife, patni. In Sanskritam we have so many words to mean, you know, a man has so many words. To mean a wife, so many words. Patni, bharya. And each word has why she is called patni. Why a wife is called bharya? We had explanation. Every word has its own meaning. Patni, bharya. There's another interesting word, jaya. From that word we derive this word dampati. Jaya pati, dampati becomes a couple. Anyway, that is not important. Why a wife is called jaya? Because it says, anaya punaha jayate patihi iti jaya. Husband is born through her again, reborn through her again as her own son. Though she is called jaya. Jayate punaha. The husband is reborn through her as her son. Therefore she is called Jaya. The very word Jaya. This is mentioned in Manusmriti. If you want the whole thing, I can give you. People who are not into Sanskritam, you can leave. Okay? It is for people who are interested in Sanskritam, I'm just saying. You can write it down if you want. Patihi Bharyam Pravishya. Patihi Bharyam Pravishya. garbho bhutva. Patihi bharyam pravishya garbho bhutva. Iha jayate. Jayayas taddhi. Jayatvam yadasyam jayate punaha. It's a long, beautiful definition of me, why wife is called Jaya. But I don't want to go in details. Okay? Now people who know, you can understand. Punaha. Anaya patnya dwara patihi jayate iti jaya. What is this jiva now? She sees the jiva as her own husband's another form. Therefore, what does she do? Bhavayati. She protects. Therefore, let us go to the next mantra now. Sa bhavayitri bhavayitavya bhavati. Now sa bhavayitri. Now who is bhavayitri? The one who carefully, consciously, intelligently, with great shraddha, one who protects with warmth and care and affection, she is called Bhavayitri. Bhavayita, masculine gender. Bhavayitri, feminine gender. Sa Bhavayitri. You are just not a simple nourisher. The word Bhavayitri means nourisher implies what? One who really, gives her life. I always mentioned the meaning of the word Mata also before. Here you have to remember the Bhavayitri. When you understand this word, you have to remember the meaning of the word Mata also. Hope you remember that this word Mata, which means mother, has come from the root Ma. Mati iti Mata. Mati means measures. Manam is measuring. Mitihi means measurement. But Mata is what? She who measures, she who knows through thick and thin, thoroughly, of all the emotional, biological needs of the baby. Child, as supposed to know, even after, until the marriage, okay, they supposed to know everything of the child. So she who can contribute to take care of the needs of the child is Mata. That is why the same thing, that means you can understand how much the must have the understanding of the child. Mata, the same thing is what now? Bhavayitri. So Bhavayi, Sa Bhavayitri. And such a woman who sees her baby as her husband's own form, and she must be also looked after equally by the husband. Bhavayitavya bhavati. Supra also teaches, okay, simultaneously. Sa bhavayitri bhavayitavya. Bhavayitavya. Isn't it? Bhavayati bhavayitavya. Like gantavyam paditavyam tavyar. Bhavayitavyam bhavayitavyaha. Bhavayitavya is a strilinga shabda. Bhavayitavya. She needs to be equally taken care of, looked after, nourished, by the husband. He also looks after. And here, even though the Upanishad does not mention all those things, that is why yesterday also I mentioned, you may not be interested, but still I have to tell you this. That is why the special, one of the 41 samskaras is called Simantonayanam. Yesterday also mentioned it. Simantaha, already there I said something different, I tell you. So Simantonayanam is one of the 41 samskaras, which is called prenatal samskaraha. the special ritual, a samskara performed, done for the mental refinement of the baby which is growing in the mother's womb. And that occasion remains. Simantaha itself means what? This line, taking this line, we're parting this hair, but taking this line is called what? This is called Simantaha. And the Simanta Unnayanam, taking this line like this, you know, is called Simanta. We take comb like this, taking this line. And who does it on the day? The husband is supposed to do it for the wife. Which means that one small ritual, small sacrament, the small samskara tells you how the husband needs to look after carefully, subtly, all the subtle, important, very small things are taken care of by the husband. Means she is very delicate, darling, because she is carrying his form. Therefore, he looks after her. Sa bhavayitri bhavayitavya bhavati. She needs to be looked after. See, always care must be mutual. Help must be mutual. Isn't it? We don't, that's not that all of us need. See, it's not just the warmth, the care, the affection, everything must be mutually shared. It's not that one person is giving, other person is not giving. That is what he said, sa api bhavayitavya, sa bhavayati, sa api bhavayitavya bhavati. She has to be looked after as well by the husband. I'm talking about samskara. People do some simanto nayanam, all those things, because it's also the samskara. Samskara itself means what? Samskaroti iti samskaraha. It contributes for refinement. The emotional, mental well-being of the baby. He should not be born a buddhu or some dushta later on. He must be a person later on who understands the value of dharma, who will live dharma, who will not compete with anything for dharma. You know, that is the righteousness. The person must be a person who knows the value of dharma. Always the mental refinement implies the child who has to understand the value of dharma and live life of dharma. That is what is mental refinement. So all the samskaras mainly aim at prenatal, postnatal, we are going to see all those things. All those samskaras are performed for the well-being of the child. Okay. Emotional well-being. That's what I said. So, bhavitavya bhavati. Then, we have tam garbham stri vibharti. Look at this. Tam garbham stri vibharti. So, this woman really takes care of that, protects that garbha, that fetus. Then, what does the father do then? Now, both mother and father need to look after. Now, see, woman cares for wife, the man cares for woman, and they both, not simply man and woman, husband and wife care for each other, and they both care for their children. Not simply man and woman, okay? Not any man, any woman. Husband cares for wife, wife cares for husband, and they both look after their baby. How does he says, what does the father do for the baby? He says, so greyeva kumaram. This reflects so much of the culture. That is also part of this. So greyeva kumaram janmano gre adhi bhavayati janmanogre dhibhavayati dhibhavayati. Can you speak here? Saha means pita, the father, the man, the father of the baby, agre eva kumaram bhavayati janmanaha agre bhavayati janmanaha adhi bhavayati. That word bhavayati should be added with what? Agre bhavayati, punaha agre bhavayati, then adhi bhavayati. So this father protects, looks after, takes care of the well-being of the baby in all respects. So the mother takes care of the physical well-being. Not only the physical well-being of the baby is taken care of, also the emotional well-being, you know, the spiritual well-being, the mental well-being, in fact the religious well-being of the child also is taken care of. Saha agre bhavayati. Agre means before the birth. Jananat prak. Jananat purvamapi bhavayati. He looks after the well-being of the baby in before the birth. Then janmanaha agre. Even during the birth also he looks after, he takes care of the well-being of the baby. And adhi means after the birth. So before the birth, during the birth, after the birth. One agre stands for before, another agre stands for during, adhi stands for after. So prenatal samskaras, we also have what now? Here during, before the birth, what does the father do? That Upanishad does not say here. We understand from our the other, you know, the samskaras we perform. That is why when a woman becomes pregnant, we have other, there's so many rituals. The minute they understand the conception, there's a garbhadanam, pumsavanam, you know, like that we have so many other prenatal samskaras. Not only that, they also get Vaidikas, Veda Panditaha, they get the Veda Panditaha, they make them recite, chant the Veda Mantras, make these women, in the whole house will be, you know, really, you can say they maintain the atmosphere of the house in such a way that this pregnant woman does not hear anything inauspicious. They have Veda Parayanam, depending upon their own convenience and then their own facilities, they have Veda Parayanam, they make them listen to nice classical music, listen to good satsangs, no, like pravachanams. All those things they contribute, we make. Why? Because so the woman hears only nice things. And even the food also, what she eats, whatever she eats, she dies, she doesn't eat. What is good for the baby, she'll eat. You know, so she is looked after in every respect means, so all the prayers and worships, the rituals, the Veda Parayanams, the pujas, all those things are done throughout, until the birth of the baby, they'll be there. And even the elders, quite often they visit and bless also. So all these things are done for what? For the well-being, emotional well-being of the baby. Tomorrow, the child who's going to be born, that like how we have in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlada had all prenatal samskara. That is why even though he was son of Hiranyakashipu, he was born as what? Narayana Bhakta. That is because prenatal samskara. The child, however it is, the samskaraha, the refinement the child picks up, develops, even before the birth, is also taking very much thought about in the mind, and they do the needful, so the child will be born a person who recognizes and accepts, understands, lives dharma. So this is the agre bhavayati kumaram. Kumarim also can say, don't worry. Then janmanaha agre bhavayati, then adhi bhavayati, even after the birth also what now? Then bhavayati. After the birth, how they fondle the baby, that I don't need to tell you, you know also, all of you know very well. It's not simply getting chocolates and biscuits, okay? It's giving all the time, being with the child, with the baby all the time, isn't it? Protection means not easy. That's why, not easy means it's a baby becomes the project, okay? Life project. That's why adibhavana. Adi bhavanam. Saha yate kumaram janmanaha agre adhi bhavayati atmanameva tad bhavayati. Okay. Esham lokanam santatya. You can say santatyai. The book has santatya. You can say santatyai also. The two versions. So, yat kumaram janmanaha agre adi bhavayati, that father, the man, the father of the child, how he takes care of, nourishes, looks after this his son before the birth, during the birth, after the birth, which means in terms of the teaching of dharma, in terms of inculcating the value of prayer, worship, righteous life, you know, the dhanam, dharma, etc., all these things, whatever dharmas, whatever the values, whatever the good things that the child needs to pick up to make his life happy, to make others' life also happy, whatever he needs to learn, all that, whatever the father does, looks out into, no? Before the birth, during the birth, after the birth, the amount of prayers the father would have done before the birth, or the amount of prayers the father does during, fondly father, the parents did during the birth, and even after the birth also, all those things contribute for, in fact, protection of the very father himself. Later on, you know, he does everything for the son's well-being, but in fact, whatever he does for the son's well-being is ultimately for his own well-being. That is what is said here. Janmanaha agre yat kumaram bhavayati. Whatever the father does to look after, he protects the son with all that, nourishes, looks, all that he does. The same way, adi bhavayati. Then adi also. Whatever the father does after the birth also, atmanameva tad bhavayati. All that he does for his son, in fact, protects himself. In fact, that becomes the protection for the very father himself. Atmanam bhavayati. The father protects himself through the protection of his son by all that he does before and after and during the janma, birth of the baby. He says, why? Because the Upanishad explains later on how yesham lokanam santatyai. In fact, lokanam santatyai. See, santatihi is a strilinga shabdaha. Santatihi. Santatyai means the four dative case anyway. For the perpetuation, for the continuity, no? For the perpetuation of lokas. The lokas here implies, you know, the parampara, the lineage, but the perpetuation of the lineage of families, the kula vriddhihi, dharma vriddhihi. Kula vriddhihi implies dharma vriddhihi. What do we want the lineage of wicked sons? No. Kula vriddhihi always implies dharma vriddhihi. Because dharma praja abhivriddhyartham vivaha. Even marriage is meant for what? For the dharma praja abhivriddhyartham. Even marriage is for the children, for perpetuation of dharma, protection of dharma. Here also, the same thing is brought up in this context here. Santatyai. No, lokanam sant, lokaha here means the continuation, the lineage of families, the worlds. The families implies what? The worlds. The families, no, the grandfather, the father, the son, like that, the lineage of families are for what? For the perpetuation of dharma. That is how all these exist and survive here. Therefore, he says, yesham lokanam santatyai. So that whatever the samskaras are performed, what samskara is done, the given, whatever the father does in terms of prayers, worships, etc., all those things the son, father does before, after, during the janma, later on contributes for the perpetuation of the families and the family values and the dharmas. The kula vamsha vridhyartam dharma abhivridhyartam cha, it contributes. Later it contributes for all that. Therefore, what now? The father becomes protected as well. Understand? See, father protects, mother protects, both of them protect together the child. So all this are ultimately for dharma abhivridyartham, dharma rakshanartham. That is what is lokanam santatyai yesham lokanam santatyai bhaveti bhavati. You have to add evam santatah hi ime lokah evam hi santatah ime lokah. That is how all these families have been there continuously. Then we see the perpetuation of the families along with the dharma. Tad asya dvitiyam janma. Then when this jiva coming in the form of the sperm, living in the mouth of the garbha fetus, now becomes, having grown in a full-fledged form, it is becomes delivered by the woman. When the woman gives birth to this baby, then her, the transference of the baby into the world is called second birth. So woman giving birth to a baby, transferring the baby into this world is called second birth, dvitiyam janma. Second avasataha is over. Now the jiva has third abode, which is his own body, which has got it fully developed in his mother's womb. Avasataha. Tad asya dvitiyam janma. This is what is second birth. Third janma we'll see later on.